Let's open in prayer this morning. And gracious Father, as we open your word, we ask that you would do a work in our hearts. There are areas in our life, each area in our life we need growth in. But Father, when prayer is preached on, we in a pointed way feel convicted of being of having the need to be more faithful in prayer. And Lord, we ask that this morning we would not hear these words and go away unchanged, but rather we would grow, that we would be convicted unto change, lasting change. And again, as we pray each week, that we would be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Father, may we recognize from your word this morning that as we come into your presence, it is a serious thing, that it ought not to be taken lightly, that it is an incredible privilege. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning as we continue to do the side series of growing in prayer together as a church family. And we will be in verses 19 through 25. I'm going to begin by reading that passage and then walk through it together. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're really going to be focusing just on the first couple verses that we just read, but I wanted to read and get the whole context. We have here in Hebrews 10 a picture or imagery culminated. All through Hebrews, we have much talk of the Old Testament. We have much talk of the Israelites coming out of Egypt in the Exodus. We have talk of the priests and the earthly temple. And we have the shadow of approaching God's presence, the Holy of Holies. The high priest could enter once a year into the Holy of Holies. There was a massive curtain keeping out all, including eyes. You could not look into the Holy of Holies. And there were great sacrifices and cleansings made before the priest could even enter into that place, before God. And yes, this was a unique and special place. It was a unique location where God, in a special way, showed his presence. And yet, it was merely a foreshadow. It was merely a shadow of the true substance, which is the true Holy of Holies. And it was a picture of the presence of God, the God who struck Uzzah dead instantly as he reached out his hand to study the Ark of the Covenant. The God who struck Ananias and Sapphira dead as they lied about their offering. The thrice holy God in Isaiah, where it says the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." The unsearchable, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-knowing, never-sleeping Creator, who will speak the world, who will speak and the world will melt away before him. This is the God that is there in the Holy of Holies. But he is not just the judge. He is not just holy, holy, holy. He is rich in mercy. He is kind and he is gracious. And he sent Jesus, his beloved Son, who took on flesh, who lived the perfect life that we could not live, and he entered into the true Holy of Holies, the actual heavenly Holy of Holies, and he offered the final sacrifice. And all who come to him now have this access into the presence of God. There no longer remains an earthly veil, but now we come through the true veil, which is Jesus Christ, a stumbling block to the unbeliever, but the entrance to true believers. And that is what the author of Hebrews, we don't know if it was Paul or not, but that is what the author of Hebrews is getting at here in verse 19. He says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, as we come before God Almighty in prayer," we are coming into his true presence. And no longer as the priests in the Old Testament, who you just had one high priest once a year enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, all of us as priests of God in the new covenant come through Jesus Christ into the holy place, into the presence of God. And this happens as we pray. We are able to come with confidence to enter into the presence of God. This is the very sacrifice which God provided. And I want us to think about it this way with an illustration. We're all familiar, I believe, with the story of Abraham. And God tells him to go sacrifice Isaac. And he takes him up that mount. And as he's ready to obey God's command, knowing that God would either raise him from the dead or do some type of miraculous thing, God speaks forth. He tells him to hold back his hand. And he looks over and there is a ram caught in a thicket. A sacrifice which God provided for Abraham to offer. Now, of course, as Abraham took that ram and God told him to sacrifice it to him, he was able to be confident that that ram was acceptable before God. Why? Because God was the very one who provided it. And so, too, as we come before God Almighty and we come in confidence, washed in the blood of God's perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, we can come boldly and confidently. We can come trusting that that is the very sacrifice which God required and God provided for us to be able to approach him. So too, as Abraham had confidence to offer the ram, that it would be acceptable before God, we can be confident to come accepted before God because we come through his sacrifice, that which he provided in his Son, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And he continues in verse 20, he says, "By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." So again, he continues with this imagery of the Holy of Holies. And in the past, the priests would come before God into his presence after offering many sacrifices that day. The blood would be flowing down out from the temple of the animals which were given as sacrifices. But Jesus now provides a new way. Not just a new way, but a new and living way. How can this be? If Jesus Christ came and laid down his life, wouldn't it be a dead way? Well, no, because of course, as we all know, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so not only is he the sacrifice, giving the shedding of his blood, but then we find out he is acceptable before God Almighty. It is confirmed that the sacrifice is sufficient once for all, and Jesus Christ rises from the dead. And now we are able to enter not only by a new way, but a living way. A way through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And he brought about this new and living way for us, for you, and for me. Through the veil. In other words, entrance through the veil into the true Holy of Holies. How is it? Or what is this veil? It is his flesh. And as we've been studying on Friday nights, we just walked through the beginning of John recently over the past couple weeks. And we see Jesus pointing out, you are to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And of course, we know it's not a literal eating of his flesh and a drinking of his blood, but rather being partakers of his sacrifice, of recognizing his salvation and following after him, having his blood wash over us and cleanse us from our sins, having his righteous life clothe us so that we have acceptance before God. And we see this now, you come into the true presence of God. How? Through Jesus Christ, his flesh, his death on your behalf. As the high priest in the Old Testament pulled back that veil and walked into the Holy of Holies, the only way into that room, now we come through our veil, the true veil, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate in which you enter. He is the door. We come through Jesus and Jesus alone. We come accepted before God through the approved, sufficient, perfect, eternal, and living sacrifice, Jesus Christ, our great high priest. It continues on in verse 21. We see, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, he is the perfect priest. He's never to die. He's never to fail. He's never to make mistake in his intercession on your behalf. Therefore, you can always come. Jesus does not have a bad day. Jesus does not forget you. Jesus does not sleep or slumber. Jesus is there interceding for you, and therefore you can come at any time, at any moment, on your best of days or your worst of days before God Almighty, because Jesus is there by your side. He is your priest. He is a great high priest. In the Old Testament, the priest would die. The priest would sin. The priest could get sick. And so on and so on and so on. But our great high priest is faithful and perfect. So what do we do? Verse 22, he tells us, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Therefore, when we pray, we are not praying to some far off, distant, and uninterested God, but rather we're drawing near with changed hearts, an assurance of acceptance, not in and of ourselves, but in faith in Jesus Christ. We are able to draw near to God Almighty, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, the one in whom we have absolutely no standing before, the one whom we deserve to have him speak and us melt away and sent to eternal damnation because of our sin. We are able to come before this God with sincere hearts. How is this so? Well, God has taken our hearts of stone and replaced them with hearts of flesh. He's taken our unbelief and replaced it with belief. He's taken our sin and he's replaced it with righteousness. As we call upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we go from rebellious sinner to saint because of Jesus Christ. So you see, we can draw near with a sincere heart before God Almighty. And we draw near not just with a sincere heart, but in full assurance. How many times have you gone before somebody? Maybe as a child, maybe as an employee. You've gone before somebody with a request. And as you approach them, you are approaching them with a sincere heart. Maybe it's a genuine need that you had. Or maybe as a child, you genuinely wanted to get a birthday present or Christmas present for that sibling. But of course, you have no money. So you go and approach mom or dad. And you come with a sincere heart. But as you come, you're doubting whether your request will be answered, whether you'll be accepted before the person you approach. Maybe as you go to your boss for a day off, desiring to spend a day with your family, you go with a sincere heart, but definitely not fully assured if your boss will listen. God is not so. As we come before God in prayer, we can come with sincere hearts by His grace. But just as importantly, we can come with full assurance that He will hear us, that He will listen to us, that He bends His ear low, that each word is heard. But not only this, in another passage in Romans 8, we find out a glorious truth. And it says, we don't know how we ought to pray, but who intercedes on our behalf? The Holy Spirit. So even as we come in full assurance of faith and sincere hearts, there will be times where we don't know what to pray. There will be times when we actually pray amiss. We don't ask for the right things according to God's will. We ask for selfish things. We ask for ease from a trial that God actually intends to help us grow and strengthen us. And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And as we do not know how we ought to pray, He intercedes with groanings too deep for words, Paul says in Romans 8. And God hears us. And we can come in full assurance as well. Why? Because God always answers according to His will. And His will is what's best for us. Again, in that passage in Romans 8, a great cross-reference for this verse. We understand that God works together all things for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So as we come before God Almighty, when we draw near to Him, we pray to Him, we can recognize this and have full assurance. Why? Because as we ask Him of things, and even if we ask amiss, He will answer with the proper answer. Most of you know I enjoy humor. I don't have very good humor, but I enjoy it. A lot of you know I like, testing people's minds with humor and asking tricky questions. Like, if you just pass the person in second place, Jane's nodding her head because I think I asked her this last week. If you pass the person in second place, what place are you in? And typically, you think first, right? Is it first? No, you're in second. You just passed the person in second place. That, therefore, you're in second place, right? You can get tricked. Trick questions can get you. If you have a hole 1 foot by 1 foot and 2 feet deep, how much dirt is in it? Well, you'd think 2 square feet, right? 1 foot by 1 foot by 2 feet? No, it's a hole. There is no dirt in it, right? So trick questions. We can get tricked. We can get thrown off. God does not get thrown off. God does not get tricked. God is never blindsided. He knows exactly that which we need. He knows exactly how to answer our prayers. And He will always answer our prayers. Sometimes He answers with yes. Sometimes He answers with wait. And sometimes, very thankfully, He answers with no. Because He knows exactly that which we need for our good, which is to be conformed to the image of His Son, for His glory. So we draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. This is founded not in assurance or acceptance in and of ourselves, but wholly and dependently upon faith in Jesus Christ. God hears us. And He closes with two things here. We draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. We have been cleansed inside. And again, as He draws on this imagery of the Old Testament and the Holy of Holies, as was already mentioned, there were these ritual sprinklings and cleansings and the sacrifices of the lambs and the bulls and the goats to have their sins ceremonially washed away. But of course, we learn from Hebrews, can the blood of bulls and goats wash away our sins? No, they're simply a foreshadow of the coming Lamb of God. Jesus Christ would wash away our sins. But we have beheld that Lamb of God And if you have called upon him as your Lord and Savior, you have now been cleansed inside, not ritually, but truly by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our bodies washed with pure waters, we've been washed, we've been cleansed within and without. The ceremonial cleansings could not guarantee genuine acceptance before God. In fact, God speaks of the Israelites as they looked good on the outside, but have insincere hearts. I believe it's in Isaiah where it says, "With your mouths you draw near to me. With your acts and your sacrifices you look good, but on the inside you have insincere hearts." But for a true believer, though we struggle, though we have hardships, though we come with doubts, though we come with sin, we are accepted before God Almighty because of the work of Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from an evil conscience and washed our bodies with pure water. And this is the gospel. It gives the true cleansing, the change which is necessary. We are changed inside. And that inside change progressively makes outward change. And as God looks upon us, as we approach his throne, we find acceptance. For he sees his Son, in whom he is well pleased. So therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I would say this, therefore, pray. Recognize the seriousness and the need of prayer. Do not hesitate to go before God Almighty and to lift up your cares and your burdens and your pains and your heartaches and your needs and your desires, both for others and for yourself. He welcomes you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do not take prayer lightly. God Almighty sent his Son to die on the cross and to have his wrath placed upon his shoulders so that you could be forgiven and you could draw near to God. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is not something to bow your head before a meal and make a joke. It is not something to do for show so that others are impressed by the way you are able to pray. Jesus warned of that, right? Of the religious man standing in the center of town praying, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this man over here. Rather, we come humbly and yet with full assurance and confidence that we are accepted before God. It is not to be done just to seek earthly needs. It is not to be used as a selfish way to gain what you want. And that is the popular idea, right, of the social, of the prosperity gospel. Ask God for a new car and he'll give it to you, right? Ask God for a raise at your workplace and he'll give it to you. What disrespect to the sacrifice of Christ, which provided the ability for you to come before God Almighty and pray. Come to the Lord, pleading for his grace and his mercy, pleading for his work in your life, pleading for him to help you become more and more like Christ, pleading that he would be glorified through what you think, say, and do. Prayer is a serious matter. So I'll close with Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer. devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. Come before God Almighty with a serious heart of prayer. I've used this quote before. It's from Paul Washer. It's on my pulpit right here because I want to be reminded of it. Each time before I pray, only fools run in where angels fear to tread. As you come before God Almighty in prayer, do not take it lightly, but humble yourself before Him, coming through the blood of Jesus. We are able to come into the true holies, holy of holies. Father, would you help us? Help us to recognize how wonderful, yet how frightening it is to come into your presence. That you, God Almighty of heaven and earth, hear us at this very moment as we lift our hearts to you. May we come boldly, with assurance, with confidence in Jesus and Jesus alone. And yet at the same time, would we come with reverence and awe of your majesty and your glory and your holiness? Would we recognize the seriousness of prayer?